Welcome to the Single to Soulmate podcast. My name is Tanya Alberti, and I am a soulmate manifestation expert, relationship coach, and spiritual guide and mentor. My sole purpose in life is to help you ditch the dating bullshit and finally call in your sacred union. So if you are ready to be done, I mean really done, you are over it, you are done having your heart broken time after time again, then you have come to the right place, my friend. My goal with this podcast is to help you step into an awareness that not only are you a perfect divine soul, wholly worthy of your heart's desires, but that you 100% create your own reality. You absolutely can manifest a one-of-a-kind love. Think of our weekly time together as your go-to for tools, spiritual growth, relationship advice, and manifesting magic. I'm here to give you the tips, the strategies, the insight, and the teachings that you need in order to truly embrace your worth and manifest that mind-blowing connection with the partner of your dreams. Your perfect person is out there waiting for you, I promise. Thank you so much for listening in, and let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back. It has been a bit of a hot minute since I have recorded an episode, and I am so grateful that you're here. I have been in content creation mode, launching new programs and all sorts of things as we're wrapping things up for the end of the year. But today I am here back talking about something that I think is such a valuable topic. It's talking about beauty and currency. So beauty as currency, currency in the world, you know, when it comes to it being a good thing, and probably not so much of a good thing, depending on the extremes that people take it to. So in relationships, as well as in business, and you're going to hear my lovely friend, Erica Ferrazzano, speaking first. She is a rapid transformation expert and a coach, but she spent a good chunk of her life in production and in film and producing. So she's extremely familiar with how things work in the Hollywood scene with regards to the image that people put forward and how a lot of it is just not true. It's not real. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoy this conversation.
Beauty is the currency for women to attract men or not, right? I was looking into this beauty standard. We have been molded to believe, you know, this is a beautiful look and you gotta follow, yada, 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 that kind of thing. Each country do have standard, and we have been exposed by media and the TV, like who is a beautiful looking woman, and then we do see the opposite sex member in our society or our interest of same sex, whatever the situation. We tend to programmed that we have to look certain way in order to attract our person, right? And I did hear beauty is the currency for women to attract men, especially high quality men. Like currency for man is currency, and the currency of woman is beauty. So I did hear that comment, and today we wanted to talk about our point of view on this. So we're gonna stick to US beauty standard, because that's where Tonya and I are at. So in the US, we We used to have this Barbie and the Ken looking beauty standard up till, I would believe, until the 90s. So the Abercrombie Finch, you know, when you go to audition and stuff like that, they are looking for all American girl and boy at that time, right? And they are looking for someone who is blonde, who has a fair skin, and, you know, having a really nice body, but not too curvy. You know, like 5'4", 5'6"-ish, and looking like a girl next door, but girl next door doesn't mean you look average. You know, like someone who looks approachable, like Reese Witherspoon kind of way, but like you're not a supermodel, you know, that kind of way. But even that, it was very difficult to meet as a standard. For example, if you are not a, you know, someone who is not white, I mean, you can't really approach and meet that standard at all, because other people who happen to not have a blonde hair, you know, and if you happen to be white, you can kind of change your hair color, you know what I mean? But if you happen to be not white, let's say, if you are African American or Asian American or, you know, brown skin Latino people, it's very difficult to meet that standard at that time. So that was a beauty standard then. Then we, in 2022, we have diversified beauty standard now. It's not just blonde hair, blue eyes, Barbie looking lady is the most desirable beauty. It's one of the beauty standard, but expanded to other ethnicities beauty standard. You know, Beyonce, people do find her extremely attractive, and Halle Berry, and I guess other people. I guess when it comes to Latina, Jennifer Lopez or Sofia Vergara is beautiful, or I'm not talking about like someone who is like 100% European descent, but someone like someone like who is mixed looking, you can tell she's a Latina, and then she looks really, really beautiful. Like, you know, those two women are kind of held as, wow, you look beautiful, right? And when it comes to Asian women, we don't really have too much beauty standard in the entertainment industry, because we don't really have that many Asian famous people, except, you know, when anyone can come up with a name, I guess Lucy Liu, but her appearance is not equal to what Asian people consider as a beauty standard over there. You know, Asian people consider Asian beauty standard to be big eyes, you know, silky black hair, fair skin, not the Lucy Liu look, let's put it that way. But I guess that's American beauty standard here. So they do have a beauty standard in media, and then we are exposed to watch those TV shows or movies, and then, you know, when we look at opposite sex or something, in my case, I was looking at a masculine guy, right? Not too masculine, but like someone who is like, who go to gym and then has nice body, right? Like kind of people you see in the movie. So, which is very American beauty standard, by the way. So I'm just using as an example. So opposite sex people, they are programmed to, I guess, accept or kind of influenced how beautiful you should be, or this is the standard of the beauty, right? In LA, when we go to LA, when I was there, it was kind of funny. People kind of like rate people by numbers. So scale 1 to 10, like she's a 10 or whatever. And I never heard of that kind of rating when I'm from New York. I live in New York now too. I mean, seriously, I never heard of that rating people, you know? So that was kind of weird to me, but it was so LA when I was there. And it was kind of like, of course, when you are in entertainment industry and then you're in the biz, you're in the environment. But like when we started having a bunch of social media and everything, you started seeing influencer on Instagram, and then they look pretty, and then everybody is showing their pretty image of themselves. It is very difficult for people to, you know, take a break, or like, I'm not saying take a break to let yourself go. I'm saying take a break to look at yourself and then celebrate your beauty. Instead of kind of like, oh, I have to follow this standard. I have to look like this person. I don't know how many you guys are having this challenge. You know, what is your biggest challenge right now to keeping up with this standard, right? Some people are struggling to meet the beauty standard in weight category, right? And some people are trying to meet standard in hair trend. You know, we see all this trend in hair or trend in fashion. It's like, you know, we do see all this pretty beautiful woman and they're, oh yeah, I want to look like her, which is kind of cool. Like, you know, get inspired and want to be beautiful because you got inspired by someone else, which is cool. But when we started to get stressful because we have to meet certain standards, toxicity comes in, you know. So as soon as Tonya comes in, you know, I wanted to share our view and insight and experiences, stuff like that. So I did hear a lot of young generations, like, you know, even tweens and girls, you know, they feel like they have to meet a certain image. Because you know how schools are. Schools are small, cliquish community, and then you're kind of labeled, and then, you know, you kind of have to look in a certain level in order to fit in. You know, depends on how you look and everything. I guess you get into certain kind of clique. And you can look too different from like standard of how your classmates are. Because if you look too different from everybody, you get made fun of, right? You may get bullied. No one want to be in that situation. So the younger generations, the people who are in school, I don't know this is applied to people who are in elementary school, but tweens and then teens, it's a lot of pressure. Lot of pressure. And try to, I guess, meet impossible standard to be super thin, which is not exactly good look. As long as you have a definition of your body, means like you have breast, you have hip, and then you have tight waist, then you have a nice body. It doesn't mean you have to look like a stick figure, like supermodel. I guess because of the criticism, now they started to show more of the regular looking people on the ad and the magazine and on the commercial, which is really good. Because then people are not trying to meet the superficial standard. And plus, you know, people who look good on the screen, they look good because that's their job. So it's a part of their product. Their look is their product. So when they're on the screen, they have to keep their look because they're part of the product. So let's say, you know, if you are known to be super hot actress or something, right? And then you made it as being super attractive actress or something. And then you hit 40 or 50, and then what is she going to do? Most of the time in Hollywood, they try to go under the knife and try to keep their aging slower and do whatever the way as possible to keep their look, you know, younger than regular population. And they also do hire professionals like a nutritionist and then trainers and all sort of people. Like when I was doing like job, the commercial modeling job, you know, usually people tell you to come in without makeup. So you come in like shit, right? And then you meet all these professional people, like professional hairstylist and professional artist, like makeup artist, and they gonna do your hair and makeup like maybe 2-3 hours and make you look really beautiful. You know, you look very different because these are professional people to make you look really, really good. You know, so those Hollywood people who are like in their 40s or 50s, they look wow, like they look like 25 or something because they have these people, plus they use filters. So when you started aging, people started to feel like less confident because especially this is like, I would say US culture and the Japanese culture. I don't really think it's the same in European culture. You know, younger is better kind of way. So when you start aging and you no longer look like 25, ladies start looking like less confident, right? Because like people think like aging is no longer beautiful. So that's the kind of spiel I wanted to talk about before Tonya comes in. That's just the structure or current situation of what's going on. Hi, Tonya.
Hi, I'm so sorry I was late. I was trying to get a client off a call that was just kind of going excessively. So, it's kind of hard to end those like on the spot. But anyway, no, I'm loving what you're talking about, and it's so true. I mean, it's especially in, I mean, it is such the epitome of the 3D reality, right? Appearance. Your appearance and how much of that is currency. And yeah, of course it's important to feel your best, to look your best. And because we know, and this is a generalization, but most men are visual. So when it comes to attracting a partner, what's the first thing you notice? You notice appearance, right? So it's not superficial. It's just the way things are. You're not going to be with somebody you're not physically attracted to. So there is a key component there. On the other hand, it can be extremely excessive. Like when you get wrapped up, and I can totally speak to this because I was obsessed about my body. I was obsessed. I started when I was 11 years old with an eating disorder that lasted decades, and I was obsessed about being thin. And even when I was thin, I had such body dysmorphia, I thought I was huge, because I was tall. So I associated being tall with being too big. And too big was my body, right? My body felt too big. So I was continually obsessing about, I'm not gonna, find a boyfriend. I'm not gonna get a relationship unless I look a certain way. So I was all wrapped up in my physical appearance. And it is what is perpetuated through any fashion magazine, movie stars, TV. Everybody looks like this perfect curated image. But that's what it is. It's curated, right? And just like Erica said, that's their brand. That's their job, is to be at their absolute best. But if you look at pictures of any Hollywood person out in public, out and about, their regular self, regular clothes on, their hair isn't done professionally, their makeup isn't done professionally. They do not look like what you see on TV. It's a totally different image. So that's something I think, especially as women, we need to be aware of. And there is nothing wrong with wanting to look pretty. We all want to look pretty. We all want to look our best, right? But you can look your best with where you're at right now. And it doesn't take much, right? It's like confidence comes from feeling good in your own skin. So you could put on a cute outfit, do your hair, throw a little bit of makeup on. You don't have to look like the cover of Cosmo, right? You just want to be confident in yourself because that is what is so attractive to other people. And I've seen plenty of women who exude this just overwhelming confidence and they're comfortable with who they are and they're not wearing makeup. They have, nothing fancy done with their hair. They're just, wearing, maybe they're out at the park and they're wearing shorts and a t-shirt, but they're attractive because of being comfortable with who they are in themselves. And maybe they've done a little bit, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be like everybody else. Right? You just have to be yourself and be authentic to you. And that is what's going to attract the right person for you anyway, is when you're standing in your own authentic self. Because if you're going to show up like a supermodel every day you leave the house, you're going to attract somebody that's going to expect that from you. And then when you're home on the weekend in your sweatpants and your messy bun and you have no makeup on, your partner is going to be like, who's this person? Right? So there's a balance that needs to be there. And beauty absolutely is something that is currency. So, standing in authenticity, but at the same time, putting your best foot forward is what's important. And I know it sounds superficial, but it's true. It's true. That is what initially attracts people. Why are flowers colorful? To attract the bees. Why is the male of most species the beautiful colored bird, the really pretty colored lizard? It's to attract the female most of the time. So there is a physical beauty that comes with attraction and attracting a partner. But the key is to not get like over the top excessive about it and trying to reach some standard of perfection that isn't attainable, you know, because so much of that is fake. It's filtered. It's curated. It's put together. It's photoshopped, right? There's so much of that that goes on when you're looking at celebrities and things like that. And so many of them have had work, you know, like plastic surgery. Like my husband, perfect example. My husband is convinced that Jennifer Aniston is just naturally beautiful. Well, Jennifer Aniston had a nose job and she's had her hair done, you know, and she has a personal trainer. So she's never had children. So she has a flat stomach with no stretch marks. You know, she's never had kids. There are natural process of aging that happens. And you don't see that in Hollywood, you know, because you have the plastic surgery, you have the makeup, you have the special effects, you have the wigs, the hair extensions, all of these things that make you think that this is what they normally look like. And it's not at all, not even close.
Yeah. And these are lighting, the special lighting they're going to put to actress to make them look younger, you know, and the regular people don't have a special lighting people to be around because you're not going to be shot, you know, on TV or film. So that's another effect that people do use to make them look much, much younger, you know, and like, because of this trend, you know, I do see a lot of people started to doing plastic surgery. Some of the people, you know, age of the very young age, they wanted to do their nose job or whatever the job. But if they absolutely hate their look and feel miserable, I mean, it might be a good idea to do it. But just to meeting the standard to look like someone else, I think the best way is try to look as the best possible you is the way to go. You know, some people say, oh, you know, beauty is not important, just love me as how I look. And these people, sorry to say that, these people I meet, they don't take care of themselves. You know, they let themselves go. And then demanding, you know, oh yeah, like love me as how I look. I mean, that's not what we are saying. Try to decide what's the best version of yourself and try to meet your standard there. And that's meetable because base is you. So, you know, you thought like you look best at your visual image 10 pounds lighter, then try to hit that image, right? Because you know you look good, and then when other people told you you look good, especially other ladies are telling you you look good, you better trust them. And then when other ladies are telling you, oh my god, you look so thin, you better eat more, you better trust them. You know, it's really important. And sometimes, you know, spiritual trend people try to follow, like I kind of did it for 1 year. It's not because of the trend. I was told to do that by my guide. But I lost so much weight. Like I was like 92 pounds. And then some of my friends who are models like started telling me like, oh, are you okay? Are you eating? You know, so you're gonna kind of like go back to your regular average weight. And that's not the way that you are not excessively more than your average or more than less than your average. That's your best weight, you know. Like, I'm not talking about your best weight like within the year. I'm talking about best weight throughout your whole life. You know, and then if that's reachable, do so. And if it's not reachable, that's fine, because nice body do mean you have, you know, breast, you have hip, and you have waist. So when you cover those three points, the actual number of weight is not that important. Just try to make sure you have a definition of your body, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And to understand also, you can look your best and be a certain weight, but and do the best you can to get there, if that's where you feel good and that's where you feel you look your best. It's really all about, first of all, being healthy, right? You want to be healthy. You want to take care of your vessel. It's the vessel of your soul, it is the temple of your soul. So take care of your vessel. Right. And make an effort because it's really a self-love thing. I mean, when you think about it, and honoring your body, honoring yourself. So you don't have to go to massive extremes, because I'll tell you, as we age, and not all of us, but there is a genetic component that as we age, our metabolism slows down, especially with women as we start going through menopause, like I myself am. I found that it is a lot harder to release weight. It's a lot harder for me when I exercise. I used to be able to exercise, pretty consistently, watch what I ate, and I'd lose 10 pounds no problem. Now it's like a challenge. It's a big challenge. And I've noticed that I've gained weight slowly over the years, and releasing that weight has taken me considerable effort. Where it never used to. So I've had to come to a place where I'm like, okay, yes, I could be thinner. I'm working on being healthy as I can be, taking care of my vessel, taking care of my body. But even if I'm not where I want to be, it doesn't mean that that makes me less of a person. It doesn't mean it makes me, in the eyes of my husband less attractive, because ultimately, as long as you are still taking care of yourself, right, you're still showing up and, like I like to put makeup on, I like to do my hair, I like to have a cute outfit on, and I can be a little bit overweight and still feel like I look pretty. And my husband still feels like I look pretty. And that's the thing. It doesn't, you don't have to kill yourself. You don't have to like go crazy with being obsessed about, oh my God, I've gained 20 pounds. If I don't lose this 20 pounds, I now have no value in my beauty and my appearance. It's about balance. It's like, okay, yes, I want to be healthier. So I'm going to do what I can to help myself. So if it means going to the gym, if it means working out, if it means really watching what you're eating, being super conscious about what you're putting in your body, cutting out alcohol, whatever it is, then do it, but don't do it because you're like obsessing over your appearance. Do it because you want to be healthy and you want to be your best in the body you can be in this moment in your life. Because I tell you, my body does not look like it did when I was 20. Absolutely not. I've had children. I have aged. I have gained weight, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight. I have visual evidence on my body that I have gone through an aging process and that I've had children and that I'm in the middle of menopause right now. So it is clearly evident that I do not have the body of a 20-year-old. But the thing is the body of a 20-year-old is what is the beauty standard. And you have to have the big boobs and you better have a tiny waist. But you can't just have a tiny waist. You also have to have a big butt. And it's like, okay, do you realize how that's just not achievable for most people? You are either born with that, but you don't get it, not without plastic surgery intervention. So you see stars like, I think Nicki Minaj had butt implants, or all the controversy over Kim Kardashian having butt implants. There, the standard of beauty changes, right? In the 60s, it was Twiggy, who was super skinny, like anorexically thin, and she was the standard of beauty. Now it's Nicki Minaj and Kim Kardashian who have huge boobs, a tiny waist, and a big butt. Like anybody else, back if you took them and put them back in the 60s, they would be considered overweight. And they would not be attractive to people. So you have to understand the standard of beauty changes. So what's more important? Trying to meet some almost near impossible standard, or putting your best foot forward and being the best you that you can be and being happy with where you are, knowing that you're doing
the best to feel good in your skin and be attractive for where you are at right now in your life, right? Because things change. The standard changes. Yeah, you know, I'm 52. I am not going to meet the standard of a 20-year-old body. Not without a lot of plastic surgery, I'll tell you that much right now. So what do you value? You know, where's that line? So it's just something to be aware of, because I think so many people get wrapped up in it, especially younger generation, because I know, because it used to be me. I used to be that person. I used to be so obsessed with my appearance. I wouldn't even leave the house. I remember missing school in high school because my hair didn't look right. I remember staying in the house because I felt too embarrassed to go out in public because I was so ashamed of the way my body looked. I mean, that's just wrong, right? That's just obviously the opposite end of where you want to be. But I had that programmed into me from a young age. So I had a lot of sickness in my mind and my mental health that I had to work through, a lot of reprogramming of my beliefs about who I was and my physical body. So just something to take in consideration, because I think, like I said, it can go to the extreme end when people are really super wrapped up in society and the 3D reality, you know, and it, like I said, it's all third dimension stuff, you know, the tangible things of materialism that are so prominent today with, you know, I've got to get this, I've got to have that, or else I'm just not happy, or I don't have any value. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, people chase appearance and chase physical attributes because they feel that it gives them value, or they think it will give them value, but it doesn't. Your value has to come from within. It doesn't come outside yourself, no matter what you look like. And I really truly believe every body is beautiful. Every person is beautiful. There is something beautiful about everybody. So play up the things that are beautiful about you. If you have beautiful eyes, play up your eyes. If you have fantastic hair, play up your hair. You know, cater to your assets and use that as your own way to feel good about yourself, to feel good in your skin, to feel pretty. You know, playing up this, if you've got a great smile or great, you know, fantastic lips, play that up. You know, you don't have to look like everybody else, and you shouldn't look like everybody else, because you are unique and individual. You are 100%. There is nobody else like you. You are unique in of yourself, and nobody will ever be like you. So be you. Be the unique, beautiful person that you are, and play to your own beauty and your own characteristics, and quit trying to worry about looking like freaking Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, that's important. I used to straighten my hair. Like, it took me hours to fit in, you know, to fit in the Japanese beauty standard, right? And that was really difficult because I don't fit in their standard. So those of you who are mixed, you know what I'm talking about. You know, people try to mold you into one kind of people, and they say, oh, you don't look like that, or you have to look like this and that. Ditch that, because you do have a unique look, and then celebrate it. Because some people, weird thing is, like, after I moved here, a lot of people were saying, oh, I love your hair. And then my hair was one of the things I hated the most, because I didn't have a straight, silky Asian hair. You know, that's kind of impossible for me to reach. Yeah, I can do straight Japanese perm thingy, but I was told by my hairstylist, because I have a white people's hair, my hair is too thin to go through that procedure. And eventually, you know, it's going to be really, really bad on my hair. And then, you know, it's going to damage. I'm going to lose a lot of hair. And then I was even told to do not put too much hair dryer, because my hair is really, really easily to get damaged. And Asian people, they usually do have thick hair, so they can go through a lot of procedure, I guess. And, you know, all that kind of stuff, you're trying to meet that standard, and then you start feeling like insecure about your look. That is not the way to go, because especially here we are in the US, we do have a lot of different kind of people in this country, right? So we don't really have to follow those four different ethnic type of, oh, this is a look you have to follow if you are in this ethnicity or race. That's stupid, you know. It's just and plus all this Kim Kardashian look. Let me tell you, like, I was kind of like, you know, asked, am I interested in doing a lingerie model? It's not kind of like a weird one. I'm talking about the catalog for lingerie company or something. But in order for me to do that, I have to get like bigger boobs and then stuff like that to meet the regular standard of lingerie catalog model. And then, you know, the cameraman, all these people told me, all these people you see on the catalog, even they look like perfect 10 or whatever, they even do go to Brazil to do plastic surgery. Because when you are tall, like 5'11", 6 feet or whatever, and then you do have like 34C or 34D and having like 34 hip, that's kind of impossible. When you are having thin body and having, you know, I'm not talking about Kim Kardashian size, but I'm talking about Victoria's Secret size or all this kind of model look. They even go to Brazil to get that body. They have a thin figure, so they got that look. But in order for them to get that much breast or ass, you have to be like less than top 1% of people to get that body. Because when we eat, we're gonna get certain, you know, part of the body to gain, which is usually not the tits or ass, you know, somewhere else. So, you know, could be thigh, could be tummy. So these people who are like, oh my God, I ate these things and then my tits got bigger. I mean, that's not happening, you know. So all these people who you see, all this perfect looking model, they even have to go to Brazil to make themselves look that way, or all these Miss Universe or all these people from Latin American country, they go to plastic surgery to make themselves look that beautiful. So it's kind of like impossible to follow that standard, and it's very shallow. So when we are shifting ourselves into more spiritual 5D kind of world, men also start seeing our internal beauty. Of course, initially they get attracted to our look. So we have to look attractive in a certain level. We don't have to look like, wow, gorgeous, perfect 10, but attractive, you know, cute. That kind of way. Because they do have a huge capacity what they consider attractive. They don't have a very narrow range. They have a very wide range of who they consider attractive. That's including like whole package or whatever, right? So as long as we look somewhat attractive, that's okay. And the rest of the thing is internal thing. Because more and more we are shifting to higher dimension, people started to notice our internal beauty, and that's kind of like seeping out. Like they can feel internal beauty like outside. It's radiating outside. And that is happening too. And in order for us to start being a shiny goddess, it's very important for us to love how we look. So it's very important to start giving internal dialogue. Because it doesn't matter your man say, oh, you look pretty. If you don't think so, it doesn't make much value, maybe half, but not 100%. If you don't think you look good, then it doesn't matter. So it's really important for you to start accepting your unique beauty where you are right now. And then if you don't like how you look, try to think how you can improve it as much as you can without killing yourself. And then if you do improvement, you know, you're gonna feel good. Like, you know, I'm gonna use my hair as an example. If you don't like your hair, there's a great extension out there to make your hair look perfect. Like, I do use wig and here and there because sometimes my hair gets so bushy and then it's like, and then I don't want to, I'm not good at hair drying my hair to make it like a salon look. Hairstylists can do it. You know, they can make my hair amazing, but I can't. So I use a wig, and there are wig or extension. You can use it to make yourself look like, okay, I look good. You know, you can do several way.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't take a lot, right? So focus on a couple little things, you know, if, and like I said, you know, Erica's example is her hair. Mine is going to be my weight. You know, if I right now am feeling because I'm challenged by trying to drop some of this excess weight I've gained since I've been menopausal, it is commonly known that menopausal women gain weight, especially in their middle. So there are certain options of clothes that I know will look better on me than others. So you can do a lot with clothing. You can do a lot to camouflage things on your body that you're not crazy about with clothes and styles and patterns and, you know, particular ways of dressing. There are a lot of things you could do. If you don't like your teeth or you don't feel your teeth are bright enough, you can get your teeth whitened. There's all kinds of home whitening products you can use to whiten your teeth to make your smile stand out more. You know, the right shade of lipstick. I mean, there's all kinds of little camouflagey things you can do to enhance a feature. So like if you wear a blue-based lipstick that has blue undertones to it, it makes your teeth whiter. So if you're not crazy about your teeth, you don't think they're white enough, wear a blue-based lipstick. And you'll be surprised, especially in photos, how it shifts the coloring of your teeth, just in appearance. And it's really just a little trick, you know, like with the hair extensions. Makeup, playing around with makeup. Makeup is amazing. I've seen so many people, especially on Instagram. I follow a feed in Instagram called Impressive Makeup. And there are people who, like, when you see the before and you see after, that they're just using regular makeup, doing a little contouring, putting some eyeshadow on. The before and after, they honestly do not even look like the same person. It's amazing to me. So there's so much you can do with, like, a little camouflage here, a little makeup here, a little makeup there, to just enhance. And I'm not talking about going crazy. You know, we're not talking about being obsessive and going crazy about it, but you can do little things to play up the features you like and little things to decrease the features you don't like. And just those little moves, those little subtle changes do amazing things for your confidence. And confidence is sexy. Confidence is what attracts people more than anything, because you can have somebody who by standard of beauty is not super up there on a scale of attractiveness, but who's super confident and comfortable in their skin, who has the energy and the vibration of, I know I look good. I know I'm valuable. I know I've got a lot to offer. And that's an energy. It's a vibration. And that is what is attracting. That is what is attracting people. And it's amazing how just a little shift in something that you may not necessarily be all that crazy about with your body or your hair, or your face or whatever it is, you know, go get your nails done. You know, if that makes you feel pretty, go get a spray tan. If you prefer the color of your skin to be a little bit more bronzy, go get a spray tan. Just the act of doing those little things, you'll be surprised what it does to your confidence level. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel good when you take care of yourself and when you put your best foot forward. Whatever it is that you like, whatever your preference is, you know, don't hold yourself to the standard of everybody else. What do you like? What do you like about yourself? What features do you like about your body? You know, what makes you feel good? So if it's getting your hair blown out straight, then do it. You know, it's those little things that make the big difference when it comes to attracting someone.
Yeah, definitely. And then, you know, if you have problem with your facial shape, for example, I mean, I like my facial shape, but I know beauty stuff a lot because, you know, I my job still is hiring beautiful ladies as a producer, right? So whole point is like, when you are not like confident about your facial shape, right? Your hair is like 75% of your visual, like your top of your neck. Like people think like everything, like your face is the most noticeable feature, it's your hair. So when you get a great hairstylist to cover whatever the stuff you don't like about, like your facial shape, right? To cover, to make it smaller or something because you think you have big face or something. And your hairstylist can cut your hair the way it doesn't notice at all. Then you feel confident, and guys usually are not that, unless they're gay guys, you know. Guys are kind of look at everything, like whole feature. They're not gonna look at, oh my god, like her eyes or her lips. They look at everything. So when your hair is like covering most of the feature you don't like about how you look, you're all set because they never notice that part of yourself. And you don't notice it when you get a good hairstylist.
Yeah, and hair does amazing things for your confidence level as well. Not to mention, like Eric was talking about with facial features, you get a good haircut for your face shape and it changes everything. Like it absolutely can make a total, make you look like a completely different person. So if you have a very round face and you're not crazy about it, usually people with very round faces, if they gain a little bit of weight, their face looks bigger. So you can like grow your hair a little bit, grow it just past your shoulders, and it elongates your face. It makes your face look longer. A little bit of contour and a little bit of blush makes your face look more oval. So, I mean, there's a lot of little tricks you can do. If you're not, if you feel like your skin complexion is not as bright as you would like it, a little hair color, some highlights do amazing things to change your appearance. And it doesn't take much. Like I said, it doesn't take much, but just that little bit is enough to shift things. So, you know, it changes your whole appearance. Like it's amazing. Just a little bit of stuff. What can impact your visual attractiveness so that when you go and look in the mirror, you're like, holy cow, I look really good. So a great haircut based on your face shape is money. Like it's priceless, because if you're not happy with the way you look and you don't like something, like I said, it's those little tiny shifts that make a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, those of you who are in New York City and are looking for best hairstylist, I'm going to hook you up with the best one because I'm really into hair and my hairstylist is amazing. You know, especially someone who is having a kinky hair or wavy hair or whatever. But the way she cuts her hair, like genius, you know. So you have, you know, beauty thing is not about, okay, you have to look this way or that way. As long as you have a clean skin, like beautiful skin, beautiful hair, and that you know how to put your dress together, guys think you look attractive. Trust me. You don't have to look like a Gisele Bündchen or something, for example, you know. You don't at all. So when you started to feel less confident, especially like this kind of happens when you're single and then started to thinking like, okay, maybe I don't look as good, that's why I don't get men. Maybe it's a good idea to have a little talk and sit down in front of the mirror and see how you can improve yourself. Or is it really about your look? Sometimes that's, you know, how you carry yourself. Like, yeah, guys are attracted to you looks initially, but after a couple of dates, like, it comes down to your personality, you know? Like, it really does. Like, I was meeting my ex, and it was kind of funny. Like, I was at his concert, and he told me he doesn't look, he does have the same body as before, but he did age. So we had the time to talk with each other for half hour. So first thing he told me is, can I take a picture of you? Because I want to show my best friend that like, you haven't changed. And I know I did change, right? But according to him, I still look like 28. And I thought that was funny. But whole point is like, when you know how to put yourself like together in best way as possible, even though let's say you don't look like you're in your 20s anymore, especially those of you who are in this country or Japan, you get too self-conscious about the aging. In Europe, they don't look at that way because you age more sexier you get. So they are very confident about how you look. And then men are not chasing after someone in their 20s. You know, they chase after the ladies around their age because that's the sense of maturity. And then those ladies keep themselves look as best as they can be in their age group. So there are so many attractive, sexy ladies out there in each age range group. And then people are kind of like grow up in that environment. So they don't really feel insecure about aging. So maybe, you know, are people like who live in US, we starting notice like really beautiful women who are older than us, age group or whatever, and they started to find the fact each age group, they are very attractive, happily married, happily in the relationship women out there. And they are not like drop dead gorgeous supermodel, you know, like some good looking exec or something. Like in your world, try to start noticing those attractive, happy women, like who look like achievable in your standard. And then those of you who are white, and you don't really think you look good facially, I do recommend you to dye your hair blonde unless you look hideous, because they are like blonde magic, right? When you look blonde, you can kind of improve your look. That's true. Even though you don't look pretty to begin with, because when they, let's say if you're born in dark hair and then the guys are like not finding attractive, and then once you change your hair blonde, like they suddenly find you attractive, there is a magic to it, you know. It's like my experience, I didn't change my hair blonde, but I did find amazing wig. So I even did go to audition with that. And then what's happened was all these my guy friends who treated me like a buddy, all sudden they wanted me to shake the hand with them. Because all of a sudden, because my hair changed, they started to feel super attracted to me for the time of I was wearing wig. So there is a magic you can use so much on your hair color or length or everything. And everything is doable.
I'm over here laughing as you're talking about blonde magic. Because I'm like, it's funny because...
You agree, right?
No, it's true. It's true. And I just am chuckling because as somebody with blonde hair, I've always been blonde as a child. I grew up this way. And
You look pretty, but you do notice some people who you went to school with, they suddenly become popular because they changed their hair color blonde.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think it has something to do with and it's just, it's interesting because it's a preference thing, right? Like, I think lighter hair makes you look younger. I think lighter hair, especially as you get older, just adding some highlights to lighten your hair up a little bit. I mean, you don't have to go full blonde, but lightening up your hair a little bit makes you look younger. And not that it's all about being younger, because there are plenty of older women that are gorgeous. I mean, look at... like, I think Helen Mirren looks amazing for a woman who's mature. My husband has a crush on Raquel Welch and she's in her 80s. And he's like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. You know? So, I mean, it's the way you carry yourself. It's the way you present yourself. It's how you take care of yourself, right? So whether it's blonde hair or if you are naturally dark, I've seen, and I think, and it's just so funny because I think we always kind of tend to look for what we are not, because I've always been light, right? I've always been fair skinned. I've always had light hair. And I've always been slightly envious of women who have a more olive skin and very dark hair, because they always look so exotic to me, like Latin women, Middle Eastern women. I just think they look so exotic and so beautiful. And it's so funny because, you know, the people who have dark hair are like, oh, I want blonde hair, you know? So it's like, we always seem to be wanting something we don't have, but there are different ways you can achieve that, you know, like with a wig, perfect example. Now I've tried to darken my hair before. I look terrible. I did not like it. Like immediately, like I remember I dyed my hair one time dark. Like it was dark, almost black. My mom was like, oh my God, you look awful. And I was looking at myself. I'm like, yeah, it really aged me. It brought out dark circles under my eyes. I'm like, okay, yeah, this isn't going to work. So it's really about just being aware, you know, play around. It's fun. Experiment, you know. Try on. There are so many really great hair extensions and wigs and things like that out there that you can experiment and play around and find out what looks best. And the thing is you want to enhance the natural beauty that's already there. It's not about completely changing your look to look like somebody else. It's how can I enhance and bring out the best features that I already have? Because, you know, like when I look at myself, I really like my eyes. I think I have pretty eyes. So I will play up my eyes as a feature, you know, whether it's with eyelashes or eye makeup, I will do that. So whether you have a great smile or pretty eyes or a beautiful shape to your face, or maybe you have beautiful collarbones, play up those features. And depending on what you do, enhance what you have. It's not about completely radically trying to look like someone else, because I really do believe we all have beauty. All of us have something beautiful about us. Like I can look at any single person out there and be like, you have this is beautiful about you, or you just have a beautiful look or a beautiful glow. Your skin is gorgeous, you know, and you don't have to have classically beautiful features, but there are certainly things that are beautiful in everybody. So play up those features. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? Just add to what's already there and make them the best they can be based on, you know, what you're doing. So, I mean, there's a lot of options out there.
Yeah, they are. So, you know, we wanted to talk about this topic because especially like younger generations, people who grew up in Instagram culture and everything, are like very, very, very self-conscious. Very, very self-conscious. Try to fit into whatever the look, or because to be accepted, you know, by the peer and the stuff like that. And it's really, really stressful environment, right? But it's really important to start looking at you as, you know, be your own producer to see, okay, how can I produce her to look as best as she can be? And I did that because, you know, my job is a producer. So I was thinking like, okay, how can I make myself as best as I can be? Means like, what can I change? So I didn't like my teeth. My teeth wasn't hideous or anything, but that wasn't Hollywood teeth. So I decided to do Invisalign to have, you know, typical American smiling teeth kind of look. And that took me a year, but I was like, that's worth it, you know. And then my hair, like I got great hairstylist. So usually she cuts my hair amazing, you know, most of the time, but during the COVID and everything, like I can't go to her. So what do you want to do? A wig, you know? And then I kind of started liking a wig when I can't do my brow or dry my hair in front of the camera and everything. I mean, hair and the teeth, I really wanted to change. And that's something I wanted to, I noticed I can improve on myself. So you can use same method, like what can you improve, you know? Like maybe other people don't even notice. They think your hair is gorgeous, you know? A lot of people told me that, but that doesn't matter. I thought I didn't like my hair. So, you know, what do you want to change and how can you enhance? That's a question you want to ask to yourself.
Yeah, and again, you know, ultimately it's about what are you happy with? What are you happy with? What changes or what things can you do that will make you satisfied? But there, like I said, there's a line. You've got to really be conscious and self-aware and know that, okay, I am doing X, Y, and Z, whether it's hair extensions, teeth whitening, whatever, in order to put my best self forward, not to be somebody else, not to meet some standard, but how can I look my best? Because ultimately, you're right. It is about being the best you, taking care of yourself, looking your best, not trying to be somebody else, but looking the best that you can as yourself. And then not falling into that illusion of I need to be perfect. I need to look like this curated vision of what I've seen on Cosmo, you know, because that just isn't reality. It's not everyday life, right? So being the best you, being happy with what image you're putting out to the world, and knowing that that confidence that you generate is what is attracting people to you. So it's about being happy with where you are and not being obsessed with some ideal standard. But there are lots of things you can do. So as long as you are doing those things to really make yourself feel good and to be satisfied and happy with how you look, you can go out. And then, you know, when you do meet somebody and you're dating, 100%, it comes down to the first few dates are going to be like, oh yeah, this person really looks great. But if you can't hold a conversation, you have no common interests, you have nothing to talk about because you have zero personality, you're all just appearance, they might as well date a Barbie doll, because you are just an image. There's nothing of substance. And if you want a real relationship, there has to be that connection, compatibility. And there's always more there than just appearance. It's like anything else. You can have a super attractive person, but if you can't hold a conversation with them and you don't like to spend time with them because you have nothing in common or nothing to talk about, then that relationship isn't going to go anywhere. You know, it may be about sex, but after a while, it's just sex. There's nothing of substance there. So if you want a real connection, a real authentic relationship, it goes so much past the initial attraction. And like I said, the initial attraction may draw you in, but it's the personality, the connection, the authenticity, the uniqueness of you that is going to keep that person around. So just something to take into consideration.
Yeah. And then this is my experience in my 20s. You know, a guy used to come up to me. And then all conversation they can tell me is how pretty I am. And that's not, I kind of intentionally try to not look put together to see. And then after I chose the guy, you know, who I like, I started to put myself together. I did that intentionally because I was kind of sick of listening, oh, you look so pretty, and they have nothing else to say. Right. And that kind of relationship is so superficial. And then they get super turned on by you, but they can either say you look pretty and then you just want to, you know, make love to you. That's not like a relationship you want. So you can look attractive, but you don't have to even look super pretty. because there's a curse to it too, you know, if that is happening. And every single guy is saying, oh, you're so pretty, and they can't really pass beyond your luck. And that is another issue. And then you have to start presenting yourself in a different way, so they don't focus on the look that much. And then you're giving disservice to yourself because you can't really put best foot together when it comes to your appearance, because if they notice that too much, like you don't put too much effort, and then that's not good for you because you don't feel good, because you are kind of like crippled by other people that if you look put together too much, they just don't talk anything but that, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, if you want a real relationship, there has to be substance. There has to be connection. There has to be real, authentic communication. I mean, superficial stuff only goes so far. And ultimately, we are all getting older. We're not going to be 18, 19, 20 for forever. And you may see that on the cover of magazines. You may see it on, you know, the TV or in the movies, that everyone looks like they're perpetually 20 years old. But in reality, everyday life, unless you are like a Hollywood star, everyday life, we age. We get older. We gain weight. We get to a place where, you know, we don't look like we're 20 anymore. Our skin starts to sag. You know, we lose collagen. It's just part of life. And that's okay. You know, because you can be 60, 70, 80 years old and still put your best foot forward and look your best in that time, you know, for how you are in that moment. You know, but unless you have substance to your relationship, if it's all based on appearance, it's not going to last very long. B, it's only going to be physical. And C, it's not going to be that fulfilling. You know, you may have a great time in bed for a while, but eventually that person's going to move on, or you're going to move on. You know, you're going to get tired of it. You're going to find somebody else that sparks your attention, and you're going to move on. Or they're going to do the same thing. They're going to move on. They're going to find somebody cuter, younger, hotter, whatever. But it only lasts so long. You know, that's why you see, and this is not to be disparaging of men, but that's why you see these guys who are like in their 40s and 50s having these midlife crises who are looking for 20-year-olds, you know, because they're like, oh, well, that's the epitome of the standard of beauty. And, you know, men being so visual, they're like, oh, well, that's what I want. Well, guess what? They're not going to have anything in common. They may have sex for a while. And unless they've got money or something to add to that relationship, that 20-year-old is going to be like, screw you, I'm moving on. You know? So what happens? You know, that 40, 50-year-old guy is going to be like, all right, well, I'm continuing to age. At what point in time am I going to realize that there's more to life than just sex? There's more than life to life than just physical attractiveness. And then you end up being, you know, these people end up being in a place in their life where they're having a real kind of like come to Jesus with themselves about what's important. You know, is it important for me to be with somebody who looks like a Barbie doll when I'm 80 years old? No, because you know what? Things change as we age. It becomes more important to have that real authentic connection. And I think a lot of us as we're younger get so wrapped up in like the superficial stuff. But ultimately, relationships are super huge catalysts for growth in our life. So if you can get past that, like mature enough to a place, like maybe when you're 28 to 30, you have your Saturn return, you start really evaluating your life, and you start looking at what's important. And what's important is the relationships we have to each other. How much do we love each other? How much do we connect with each other? How much do we benefit each other with compassion and love and care and concern? And that's what's really important, you know? And if you stay stuck in the superficial stuff, you are not going to be fulfilled. I promise you, you will not be. You may be for a little while, but it's not going to last. And that's just something to be aware of, you know, whether this is falling on deaf ears or not, but the superficial stuff is not going to last. And I really don't want people to sit on their deathbed and look back with regret and be like, I could have had so much more connection in my life if I would have given up this belief that things had to be this standard of perfection and beauty in my relationships. Because a lot of times that happens, you know, people end up looking back on their life with regret. And what's really important, honestly, what is really important? What's important is that relationship of authenticity, connection, really knowing somebody, being supportive of that person, loving and caring about this person, you know, being compassionate in the world. I mean, there are so many more important things in life than freaking looking like the cover of a Cosmo magazine, you know? And I mean, take that into consideration.
Yeah, and then if your selling point as a woman is just luck, I mean, looks like by the 40-ish or more, it started deteriorating, right? And then what else you can use to attract a guy if you happen to be single around that age or later, right? You need something. You have to look attractive, but that doesn't mean you have to look as 20s, right? So if only thing going on to appeal guys your looks, and then that's the only glue factor you attract the guy, it won't stick around long, because long-term relationship is not about looks. Long-term marriage is not about looks. Yeah, you gotta attract it to each other, but attraction will increase even we both age or gain weight, or we no longer look like in our 20s. It does increase when you know how to build the good relationship.
Yeah, and I mean, ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about the connection. It's about sharing your life with somebody, finding somebody that you want to spend time with. And that doesn't come from looks, right? So ultimately, that is the message. So as we wrap up, I think the last thing that I want to share is be true to yourself. Don't let anybody else tell you what you need to be, what you need to look like, what you need to achieve in life. Be authentic to you. What do you desire? What do you want? You know, don't measure yourself against somebody else's measuring stick. Because you are the unique person you're here to be. So nobody else in the world out there is like you. So honor that. Play up the beautiful things about you. You know, whether it's, you know, your figure, your face, your smile, your eyes, whatever. Play up to the unique, beautiful things that are there about you. Your kindness, your generosity, all the things that make you special. And play to those things. And in your relationships, understand that appearance only goes so far. It only goes so far. If there isn't substance there, a relationship isn't a relationship. It's just physical attraction. And that only lasts for so long. So just something to consider as we wrap things up.
So that about wraps things up for the day. Thank you so much for tuning in and giving this episode a listen. I would love for you to add this to your list of regular podcasts that you listen to. Also, I've got so many things in the works right now. I'm really excited. I've got several free masterclasses coming up. I've got some workshops I'm hosting. So I would love, if you are interested in any of the classes that I teach, to go ahead and give me a follow on Instagram. That's where I post most of my things. My Instagram tag is @IAM_TanyaAlberti. And you can follow me there. And I would love to connect with you either on Instagram or on Clubhouse even. And let me know, reach out to me if there's any topics of interest you want to have discussed, or If you're interested in any of my offerings, please feel free to reach out to me there. You can also email me at info@tanyaalberti.com. I would love, love, love to hear from you. So I hope you have an amazing day and take care and see you next week.